You're tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona. Coming up next is part of a podcast from Flag Shakespeare Company, Untamed Shrews. To hear the entire podcast, listen at sunsounds.org.
Hello! We are here at Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, Arizona, and welcome to episode 34 of Untamed Shrews Women Talk Theater, presented by the Flagstaff Shakespeare Festival. I'm Becky.
And I'm Hannah.
And I'm Dawn.
Today we are discussing stage fright and nerves and how we can move past it when we perform. I felt a little inspired off kind of two recent things. When I did my show in September, and of course Romeo and Juliet, just recently I have been dealing with, I don't know if I would call it stage fright, but nerves and anxiety specifically surrounding memorization. Huh. And it's just been making me so, like, it just consumes my brain. I mean, both my show and, of course, Juliet are just a very heavy load. Yep. It's just a lot of lines. Obviously, my show is entirely me. It's 45 minutes of just me. So if I forget what I'm doing, there's no one there to help me. But I had never really experienced, or I haven't experienced that in a very long time. And usually I don't experience stage fright or nerves. So it's a fairly new experience. So I'm trying to work through it. So I thought it would be a nice discussion because I'm absolutely certain people go through this. Yeah. And especially new actors. So anyway, wanted to discuss how we can kind of work through it and any maybe experiences you guys have had of maybe times you did go up on stage and forget lines. And was there a way that you like got yourself out of it, or stuff you do before the show that calms yourself, or even just memorization tactics to help you feel more prepared? Do you guys experience this, or have you not felt it for a while?
I think I always do. I don't think I've ever had an experience where I didn't.
Really? Because I rarely do.
Both on stage and, like, you know, for any kind of aerial performance, anything like that, I get super nervous. Mm. I think, like, you know, if I get really far into a run, you know, I've done some longer runs of shows. Mm-hmm. And when I get further into a run, it might start to be something that doesn't come up as much.
Yeah.
But definitely something that I regularly experience when it comes to getting on stage, especially an opening night or, you know, a short run of a show. It's very typical for me, I guess. And yeah, I think that it's just kind of part of the, for me, part of the anxiety of, like, am I going to do a good job, or, you know, am I going to do what I want to do, or is everything going to go correctly? It's not usually for me around memorization. I find I can, like, stand at the edge of the stage and think, I have no idea what my lines are, and go on stage and just say them. Yeah. You know, like, they're in, like, that deep part
deep
of
recess.
Your brain.
Yeah.
And so that's always what I count on, is I count on, like, the lines are there somewhere, and when someone says, you know,
my cue,
says or does the thing that triggers my line, I'll say my line. Yeah. But so I never get nervous about lines.
Really? That's the thing that worries me the most.
Yeah, same.
No, I don't think about it at all. I'm usually like, well, I have no idea what I say. I'll go on stage and it will come out.
That's so funny.
Wow. Yeah.
So that doesn't bother me at all. But
really?
Yeah.
So it's just the, like, idea of doing well.
Yeah. Will I do well? Will the audience enjoy it? Yeah. I mean, I feel it in a whole different way as a producer. It is very hard for me to enjoy a flagship play the first time I watch it, because I am not at all watching the show. I'm watching all of the audience members, and I'm very nervous about what they're feeling. And I'm trying to figure out, do they think it's funny? Do they like it? Do they, you know, what are they? So that is a whole different level of nerves, because I also have no control, because I'm not on the stage and I'm not performing, but I'm sitting there in the audience going, like, is this a flop? Are people going to love it? Are they going to laugh? So it's really hard for me to enjoy our plays because my nerves are so high. I don't experience that, like, at another
Right.
Theater someone else's company. Play, yeah. Seeing someone else's play is easy enough because I'm just like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
See what they do.
This isn't my circus.
Yeah.
not my circus, not my monkeys.
Yeah. Yeah. But even like, you know, Romeo and Juliet at NAU, I couldn't stay and watch the whole thing, unfortunately, because I had to go home. But, you know, it was like, wait, nobody laughed at that line. Everyone laughed at that line under the tent. Why didn't anyone laugh at that line? Are they going to come along for this show? Is this the wrong venue for this show? Can we, like, just the spiral of thoughts makes it really hard. And that's where I get really anxious. As an actor, yeah, I feel like it's a benefit because I go on stage and I have a lot of energy.
Right.
It often affects my breath very poorly, so I have to remind myself like to not to be breathy over my lines if I'm anxious. But outside
huff,
of
do the Hollywood huff.
Yeah, I just like, you know, kind of, I don't even know how to imitate it, but I get really, really breathy and I'm talking with my breath and all everything's coming out on breath.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I have to like remind myself, like, don't do that if you're anxious. That's the only way I feel like it negatively affects me.
Mm. Deep breath.
The anxiety, I think outside of that, it gives me a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. So when you were like, oh, I did Juliet only once and I think it was great and I think it was one of my best performances, I'm like, that makes sense because if you were super nervous, that was like fueling your show.
Using it.
And that energy is great for an actor. But you know,
well, I was so freakishly hyper focused.
Yes,
because I had literally one chance,
right?
So literally down to the, like, I mean, I also like, I had like papers of like what to do next and where to, you know, like, because I was like, I am not gonna get this wrong. So I was like, and off stage I was like just staring into the abyss, you know, like, I was like, no one talk to me. I have so much to do. I have so much to think about. I have daggers to grab and pillows to grab. Yeah. Like,
did you feel supported from the people who had done the show during the summer? Like,
totally.
That camaraderie of like, hey, girl, we got you. Like, if you're on the wrong side of the stage, we'll figure it out for you.
Especially like, Paige and Marcus. So Paige was my nurse and Marcus was my Romeo. And Marcus is perhaps the chillest human I've ever met. So, like, even when we did, like, our intimacy, it was so sweet. At the end of our intimacy rehearsal, he was like, thanks for making that so easy. And I was like, thank you for making that so easy. Like, he's like, that was so professional. Thanks. And he would just, like, he would thank me for, like, doing a good job. I was like, thanks, Marcus. That's really sweet. But he... Yeah, I just had to remind myself. And, you know, it's so funny because this sounds so simple. But with Juliet specifically, I was like, Hannah, you know your lines. You have to listen. You have to listen so hard. If you get lost, all you can do is listen to the other person.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we're like, I'm supposed to walk to the left and then say this line. And then I'm waiting for them to finish my line for me to say my line.
Yeah.
It's like, I just have to listen to what Marcus is actually saying to me.
Yeah.
And I had to just be like, look into Marcus's eyes. Like, actually look at him. And that was very helpful. I was like, I just need to actually try to connect to Marcus right now. Actually listen to what he's saying. But I literally said to Paige, I was like, Paige, if I go tits up, will you please help me? And she was like, of course.
Of course.
That's a good... So, like, when memorizing... like, actually understanding what the person is,
saying
what I am responding to, is like, I mean, this is like, I don't know, like memorization 101.
Yeah.
But it's like, oftentimes, if I'm having trouble like remembering what my next line is, it's because I don't know what I'm responding to.
Yeah.
Or what the other person is saying, or like,
exactly.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
Because it's buried in there. If you understand what you are actually doing and the arc of the character, when you gain information, you give them information. So as long as you're actually listening, you know, you might end up accidentally skipping or something, especially if there's like a repetitive section. But if you're truly listening, you shouldn't like fully forget. You might like forget a transition or a couple words, but I found that that really helped me. But yeah, they were very supportive. I mean, honestly, weirdly enough, Juliet's not on stage with a lot of people. It's mostly just Romeo and the nurse. So between the two of them, who Paige is already a good friend of mine, so was definitely not worried about that. And Marcus and I haven't worked together on stage, but he's been in our last few shows. So as an administrator and as a staff, I know him quite well. And I just knew him to be such an easy human to get along with. So I knew it wasn't going to be hard. So that was great. But that's fascinating that the lines for you are not the worry.
No.
Because I am not, well, I guess, of course, I am worried about like what people think of me, but I'm not worried about walking out there and doing the thing. I'm afraid of going up. I'm afraid of losing where I am.
Yeah. I'm 100% of percent afraid of going blank and then just being like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear.
Yeah. Something that helps me, or well, one of my like pre-show rituals as an actor is if I can be like on the stage or in the space, going through all of my lines from top to bottom. So, and even if it's just like mumbling it to myself or saying the tricky stuff out loud, or in the importance of being earnest, like the one Miss Prism monologue at the end where it was like very important that I did not mix up these all like two words. Because in rehearsals when I wasn't like, you know, when I was just like saying the lines and I was like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, that was wrong. That was really wrong. And that changes the whole meaning of the show. So like particularly like stuff like that, I'm very like conscious of like, these are the words in this order.
Yeah. No, I get super nervous about missing an entrance. I freak out about the idea of missing an entrance. That's really what like will get me, is the idea that maybe I won't come on stage on time. And so like I actually hate being off stage during a show. I would much rather just be on stage the whole show. Because if I'm in the dressing room, I'm just like, I don't know. Did I miss it? Did I relax too long?
I never go to the dressing room. I just sit in the wings.
In college, I was doing a show and it was me and one of like the grad actors, and we almost missed the bows because we were just like chit-chatting in the dressing room, and we're like, this has been going on for quite a while, and then we like made it right in time to like bow.
I did a production of Christmas Carol where I literally just hung out on Ebenezer's bed every time it was backstage, because I was like, I'm not gonna, because it was so doubled and so like overlap, and I was like, there's no way I'm missing an entrance, like this is. So, yeah, I get that, just hanging out in the wings. Like, I would so much rather do that. But I would honestly rather just be on stage because then I know I'm on stage.
For me, I like the kind of show where I'm mostly in and out and in and out and in and out. But what I liked about Juliet is that she comes on, but she has these just like little baby breaks. Like, she's never gone for long. So it's not like you have enough time to like go to the bathroom or like go sit in the dressing room, but you do have enough time to drink some water, check your entrance, maybe look at the like the next line,
take a deep breath,
speech, grab your, you know, grab a prop or whatever, but it's never enough time to like get nervous again. It's just enough time to like get what you need to get done. Which was nice.
And that's the thing about like a show, like, or like live performances, theater, art, is like it once you start, that train is getting to the end. So like hop on board, because here we are.
You have to do it. I think all of this goes back to how important the team is. Because you're also right, trusting everyone else to know their lines, trusting everyone else to make their entrances, trusting everyone else on stage that if you did go up on a line or if you did miss your entrance, they would somehow be able to cover for you and like pull you back into the show without being – so it's like having a really solid team, I think, is the most important thing. Just to make sure that –
Shout out to stage managers.
Stage managers also making sure that you're not still in the dressing room when you should be back.
That you've got that prop piece or that costume or
So I don't know. So I think that's really important. So when I was working in Lanesboro, Minnesota at the Commonwealth Theater, I was just an intern, and I, you know, so I was maybe 1 year out of college or whatever, and we did a really long run of a show, like a super long run of a show. And it was a new playwright play, and I played just like the daughter of the main character, or like the stepdaughter of the main character. Anyway, so I was all alone, and we're just like on a bridge in a scene, and he has, you know, this guy has come back to town, and he has this long monologue, you know, about like why he's there, and I mean, it was just like probably like 3 or 5 minutes of him talking. And I don't talk at all during the entire monologue. I just listen to the whole monologue. And we ran onto that bridge, and I turned around and looked at him, and I could just see in his eyes that he had
It was
no idea what to say. And I was like, oh, well, this is interesting because I don't have any lines.
Yeah.
So I just started asking questions that I knew the answers were in his monologue, you know, so like probably pretty stupid questions like, why are you here? Or whatever. But but we got through the whole scene and we got off stage and he like literally like hugged me so hard. He like picked me up off the ground.
Do you know what happened? I was like,
he just said he blanked.
Yeah. Huh. So maybe that's why you're not concerned about lines, because you're like, somebody will help you.
Somebody will help you.
Because you,
even if they don't have any lines. Yeah.
But that's if you have a, that's if you have a scene partner.
Yeah, if you go up without a scene partner. Because
like that's what's scary about my show. If I go up, I mean, Simon is there, my pianist, but there's no one who I'm talking to. I'm not. Yeah. You know, so if I just forget what's next, I just kind of have to take a moment, which is fine. But I do have to like have that moment of like, okay, what song am I singing?
Yeah. You know, the thing I like about a solo show in that way, though, is that you can vamp without throwing anyone else off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
and if you do mess up, it's just you.
It's just you. And the audience has no idea. I mean, I've done a couple, like in Phoenix, we used to do something called Poe Fest. And we would literally, it was around Halloween time. But we would act out, like, we would do the whole piece from Poe. So some of them were 20, 25 minutes, whatever, like the entirety of The Fall of the House of Usher or Telltale Heart or whatever. And you were just alone on stage because you were supposed to be, you know, like in a room in an insane asylum. But the great thing about that is, like, if you forget a line or you skip a part or you do a thing, like, A, the audience doesn't know, and B, no one else is relying on you. Yeah. So you're just kind of like, here I go.
Yeah.
You know, or No Spring Chicken. Mm-hmm. That one was, I think, you know, 60 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. And I did have a scene partner occasionally. Mm-hmm. But it was like, if I forgot what came next. Mm-hmm. And then that is where I think what you said earlier, Becky, is really interesting is, what's more anxiety-inducing is if you say the wrong thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because I had this whole part about her taking, because it's about a woman trying to get pregnant when she's 40. I had this whole thing about her taking the ovulation tests. Mm-hmm. And at some point, Jim, our wonderful Jim Warren, who was directing, was like, you keep giving it away by saying, the first one I took.
Oh.
Instead of being like...
I took one.
He was like, if you say first, the audience knows there's a second.
Yeah.
If you say second, they know there's a third. You can't give away, like, mm-hmm. what's going to happen here by saying the wrong word.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shoot. So then those things do really stick in your mind. And you're like, do not say first. Do not say first.
Or, like, things that you probably wouldn't say in real life, but you sometimes accidentally do as an actor. Like, say someone's name wrong.
Yeah.
Or, like, call someone by your character's, you know, like, name or something where it's like, that wouldn't happen in real life. But as an actor, there's a possibility because you're not that person. You know, you haven't known them for 60 years.
Yeah.
Or, like, mispronounce something that you probably wouldn't have as a, like, real life human being or things like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, no, I would know how to say that if I was actually blah, 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 you know. So, so is there anything that we can do to... We kind of talked about memorization a little bit, about like really listening. I guess just tactics for are really the only my big advice I can give is like you do have to prepare. Like you cannot slack. And unfortunately, if you put things off, if you don't memorize on time, your nerves are going to be higher because you didn't put in the work. Unfortunately, you didn't put in the time. And that's really where I have to push myself, where I'm like, Hannah, this is no one's fault but you. If you don't know your lines, or if you don't know your track, if you don't know your choreography. So for me, I try to start as far ahead as I can. I try to give myself a daily goal where it's like, I need to at least look at this every day. And if I can, look at it at least 30 minutes or at least an hour, or at least read it before bed every night. Even if I didn't have time to like really sit down and memorize today, I need to look at it every day from like 2 to 4 weeks or whatever before the show. Something I love to do is the letter technique, which I do. I write down every first letter of every word, which it really works for me because it's a step
just
between,
of your stuff.
We do the same thing. Yeah, just of my stuff. Yeah. And it's a really good step between being fully memorized and physically reading the words off the page. So it's like a nice step in between where it still makes your mind work for the word, but it still gives you a stepping stone. So I would definitely recommend that as a memorization tactic.
Did you learn that from me during All's Well?
No, I learned that from Brianna Conrad.
Okay.
Down at Southwest.
Okay, I learned it from the laziest actor I've ever known. And when he did it for the first time, I was like, this has to be gold.
This has to work.
If the laziest actor is doing it.
And they were in a literal two, they were in a two-person show. They were in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. Playing one of the two. I can't remember if they were Rosencrantz.
You're like, so if it works.
And I was like, if that works to get that actor off book, that must be genius.
Yeah. It works really well for me.
Yeah, I learned it when I was a stage management apprentice working with some grad acting students.
Yeah,
it's the best.
Yeah, and then something else in memorization, I mentioned like understanding what the other person is saying, but also, and particularly for me with Shakespeare, like understanding what I am saying.
Yeah.
Like I cannot just memorize the words in the order that they appear. Yeah, I really need to know what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Yeah, paraphrasing is really good.
Yeah.
Something that Jim really pushed on the Romeo and Juliet cast was when you run your lines, don't be sitting down. Which sometimes I still do, but I did try to like run my lines while on a walk or just walk around in my room. Or if I am running lines with a friend, they can sit, but I should try to at least pace or something.
Yeah.
Just because when you are acting, you're up, you're making choices. And at least for me, that's when I forget my lines.
Yeah.
When I'm just sitting down, I can say all my lines. But when I'm making choices, it was actually so funny, guys. I was like, I'm absolutely convinced that when Marcus kisses me, all of it's going to be gone. Because like, you know, when you're rehearsing just in your room, you just say kiss. Or there's a kiss somewhere in that monologue.
Yeah.
But when it actually like breaks it up. So it's like you do have to like get your body moving and like working because it's going to be similar to how you're actually like up and at 'em. But yeah, any other memorization or just like preparation tactics?
There's some great apps. I use the app Line Learner and I love it. It has all kinds of options where it's like you record them all and you record your cues and your lines, but then it has all kinds of options about playback.
Oh.
So you can either just leave a pause the length of the line,
mm-hmm.
or you can have it play your line, leave a pause the length of your line, and then replay your line.
Mm.
Or you can have it, you know, leave a pause and then play your line. So like it can kind of like the letter thing, it can be like a stepping stone.
Yeah.
So it can play it, you can say it, then it can play it again. You can see if you said it right.
Yeah.
Or it can just leave the spot, or you can say it and then it can play it back to you. You can see if you said it right, whatever.
And is there like, so your cue line, do you record that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Because like, when you're reading it, there's definitely, that's another step.
Different
the pacing. From reading.
Yeah. You set up all the characters and like insert the line, whatever. So recording it is part of the process of learning it, right? Because you're saying them all out loud while you're recording it. But then that way you really can take it for a walk.
Yes.
Because like, it's just on your phone.
Yeah.
So you can just play it on your phone while you're walking and like say your line whenever you want to. So I love Line. I think it's called Line Learner.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called.
I've never tried it, but I've heard Paige talk about it and I have been meaning to try it, but have not ultimately ever tried it.
Yeah, I really like it. And again, if you know you're learning your lines swiftly or you're going to be like on a plane or in a car or like somewhere else, it can be super helpful. Or like you were saying, like one time before bed, sometimes on like the worst days where you just don't get to it, you could just like put in your headphones and fall asleep.
Or like while you're brushing your teeth. Or,
And just be like, okay, here we go. I'll just listen to it.
Totally.
time through. So I would suggest that one. But as far as nerves, I would say, you know, the two biggest things that I always try to tell myself are, one, the audience is on your side.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to succeed. They want to see a great show. They want you to have a great performance.
Yeah.
If something happens that's out of your control, they are so with you to get back on track. Like, that's actually one of the best things that can happen in live theater.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like this summer, the lights got turned off in the middle of Mike Levine's big Malvolio monologue. The audience was so into
with
that.
Him, yeah.
When the lights came back on, like, he had to vamp in between. Whatever. They were so into it.
And that's the beauty of live theater.
Being hilarious. Yeah.
And that's what they're
like
thinking.
Stuff like that.
They're like, I just saw something no one else saw.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're 100% on your side. That helps me with the type of nerves I get, which is way more related to like what's the audience thinking than the line stuff like we talked about. So I love to keep that in mind. But then also just my forever acting advice, which is to never actually be in character. Just be like, be you in the situation.
Yeah.
And if you're nervous in the situation, then use it. Yeah. Why are you nervous?
Yeah.
You know, and it usually makes sense because you're not doing a play where there aren't high stakes situations happening.
Right.
Like you're not going on stage just being chill. Like something is happening on stage.
Yeah.
So if you're nervous, that's fine. Your character is also probably super nervous because something huge is happening in their life.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, just use it and know the audience is behind you.
Right? Yeah. So after, especially after my September version of my show, I had just like, it wasn't even that bad, but I had like flubbed a line and kind of got behind in like one of my little monologues, and it just like stuck with me so bad. And so when Romeo and Juliet was coming up, I was like trying, first of all, I was just like memorizing so hard because I was like, I'm not gonna let this happen again. But something that Jacob just kept telling me, and he was like, you need to think about this, was like, your worth is not in your performance of this one show.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, from a Christian perspective, he was like, Hannah, your worth is not as an actor. Like, you are so much more than just an actor. It's something that you love, and it's your career, and you really enjoy doing it, and you do love it, and you're good at it. But that isn't what makes you Hannah. Like, that is not your worth. So literally, like, before Romeo and Juliet, I mean, I sent up so many prayers, but I was also like, Hannah, your worth is not in your performance. Your worth is not in your performance. And I just had to keep telling myself that if you do mess up, no one will care.
Yeah.
No one will remember. So I just had to, that was something that actually worked really well for me this time, was literally just like sitting with my eyes closed before I went on stage and telling myself, your worth is not in your performance. And that helped me enjoy going out there and playing. We all want to do well and all those things. So, all right.
Well, thanks for listening to this month's episode of Untamed Shrews. I'm Dawn.
And I'm Hannah.
And I'm Becky. Join us for our next episode in January to ring in the new year. Follow Untamed Shrews on our Instagram at Untamed Shrews Podcast and on the Flag Shakes website. All episodes of Untamed Shrews can be found wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on sunsounds.org and the Flag Shakes YouTube.
Please subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review, put us in your Instagram stories, donate at flagshakes.org/donate, become a podcast sponsor, and buy Shrew Crew merch. Help support us.
This episode of Untamed Shrews, starring Dawn Tucker, Becky Zaritsky, and Hannah Fonts. Show art by Calliope Ludecker. Podcast theme song by Cadence Lamb. Podcast produced and edited by Hannah Fonts. Presented by Flagstaff Shakespeare Festival. And recorded with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Special thanks to our audio engineer, Gina Byers.
Yay.
Thanks, Happy Gina. Holidays, everyone.
Oh, yes.
Happy holidays.
Oh, my gosh. We'll see you in January.
2024.
Thanks for listening to Untamed Shrews. To hear their entire podcast, listen at sunsounds.org or anywhere that podcasts are available.